To the January 26th workshop, quarterly workshop. And we are going to stand up for the Pledge of Allegiance, please. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. And you may be seated. And if Rachel could call the roll, that would be great.
Okay, Director Kwiatkowski.
Present.
Director Mora.
Present.
Director Edwards.
I'm here.
And Director Armstrong is absent, as well as Director Swan.
Who's ringing there?
That's me.
Oh, that's fine. I'm just a different ringtone. Okay, we will, item number four.
I couldn't find anything.
Okay, thanks for, I didn't ask you to look for anything. Smartphones are kind of funky. Okay. Item number four, discussion and action items. Do we have any comments from the public this morning? Rachel. Rachel, you're muted. There you go.
Sorry, no public comment.
Okay. Good. Real quick. Good morning, Louie. How are you feeling?
I'm doing good.
Good. Are you back to work?
I never left work because my surgery did not happen.
Oh my gosh. Really?
It got canceled the day before.
Oh my goodness.
I'm dealing with insurance stuff and paperwork. So it might happen at some point. We'll see what happens.
Yeah.
Oh, Louie, it will happen. It's just, it sucks.
Yeah. Yeah. Mike knows how to do it. You want him to do it for you?
I think we might have to go that route. So we'll find out by the end of the week if I need his help.
Okay. That is terrible.
Yeah.
Okay. Item 4A, presentation of the second quarter 2020-2021 fiscal year financial statement.
Hey, good morning, everybody. So the second quarter financial statements are in front of you, as well as the memo that I have composed. I'm assuming everybody saw the note at the top because we just went through the mid-year budget adjustments at our last regular board meeting. But just to remember that this is through the December 31st, 2020. So the mid-year budget adjustments that we approved were not reflected in this, specifically the capital improvement items that are listed as unbudgeted. As far as the operating expenses of the district, we are pretty well on track with what was what the budgeted figures were. So specifically, I'll just kind of walk through my memo. The water revenue is on track with the fixed rates, and the variable rates are exceeding what we budgeted by 24%. And as we're all well aware, we've had an increase of consumption in the area due to people relocating here, working remotely due to COVID. So we are attributing that increase to that. Overall expenses are on track with what was budgeted, except with the exception of the leases, which we have discussed at the previous quarterly meeting with the via phone system. We have definitely had some more activity in the second quarter as far as the capital expenses. So specifically for water, we had the $97,000, almost $98,000 purchase of the district's new crane truck. Which was originally budgeted in the 1920 fiscal year and was carried over this year due to the delays in the truck delivery. We had 44,000 for the tank two generator and asphalt improvement project, 57,000 for the purchase of mixers for tanks 2, 4, and 5, which is to improve the water quality and for regulatory compliance, 50,000 for the remaining balance for the purchase of the new tank 4 generator, almost $18,000 in engineering fees for the Big Creek Second Grody Clearwell project. And as I did with the previous quarterly report, I've just included, highlighted obviously the big capital items, but then also included the water capital outlay chart that includes all of the water capital outlay to date. So I don't know if there's any specific questions regarding the water fund before I move into the sewer fund. Okay. And we can always go back if you have questions after the presentation. Okay. Revenue for the sewer, same thing, on track with the budgeted figure, and variable rates are exceeding by 14%, which is also, you know, we are looking at the higher customer water consumption for that. And the other non-operating revenue includes about $7,500 total interest in the district's LAIF account. As you would probably notice from the quarterly investment report, all interest rates have plummeted. So the interest rate for our LAIF account has dropped significantly over the last year and as a result of COVID. Expenses are on track with the exception of the lease for the fund share for the Avaya phone system. And again, you'll see the PERS unfunded accrued liability only has the 3% remaining, but that's because we pay the majority, or not the majority, we pay it all in one lump sum. And so we actually save that $2,300 by making one lump sum payment rather than payments throughout the year. The second quarter capital expenses for the sewer fund include $94,000 for the headworks replacement project at the wastewater treatment plant, $47,000 for the purchase of a new Bobcat to be used at the wastewater treatment plant, $26,000 for the purchase of the smart manhole cover system, which is currently in place and operational. And I know Louis has been gathering information from that and data. $16,000 in engineering fees for the preparation of the final plans and specs for the downtown Groveland Big Oak Flat Collection System Rehab Project. And it also includes $46,000 for the sewer fund share for the purchase of the district's new crane truck. Fire fund. The district received one of our large property tax disbursement checks from the county in December, as we usually do. The other non-operating revenue includes $3,300 in grant funds from the state of California, which was reflected on the first quarter financial reports, $3,000 in combined between the first quarter and second quarter of interest from LAIF, and the other non-operating revenue figure includes $27,641 in grant money for the Jones Hill fuel break project. The district to date, we've only received the first quarter invoice from the CAL FIRE for our Schedule A. So that's $195,000 that we've paid to date. The utilities are over budget, which was one that we did adjust in the mid-year adjustments that we just approved this month. And that's due to high water consumption at the station. And the other operating expense includes $16,500 in legal fees related to the review and response for the under canvas and Terra V County planning are the county projects, which we also discussed at our board meeting and made a mid-year adjustment for those additional legal fees. The $9,500 to SCI Consulting, which was made part of the first quarter of this report, and a total of $13,785 to date in apparatus repair work. And then you'll note that the other non-operating expense line item includes $105,000 for the Jones Hill fuel break project that was completed, I believe. And second quarter for capital for fire includes $100, and that's just for the fund share for the admin parking lot upgrade project. So not much activity as far as in the fire capital outlay. The parks fund received its portion of the property tax disbursement from the county. This was also reflected in the first quarter, but the other operating includes the $25,300 from PG&E for the purchase of the two easements for the pre-installed interconnection hub. To date, we've received $26,878 in cell tower rent, $9,500 from PG&E for the use of Mary Laverne Park for their community resource center during the last PSPS event. And we've earned $964 in interest in the LAIF account. The utilities were up significantly, which was also brought to the attention and adjusted during the mid-year budget adjustments. And that was because there was a leak at the park, which the water has been turned off as a result of that. So we shouldn't experience that going forward. And capital outlay just includes the $20 fund share for the admin parking lot upgrade. So that is my second quarter financial report for the district. And if there are questions regarding the finances, the financials specifically, I'm happy to go over them. Or I know Louie is also here. So if anybody wants to kind of dive into some of the capital items and exactly what that is, I'd be more than happy to address that.
It's a lot.
Mm-hmm. For some
reason, Bob's got to say something. Okay.
This is a small thing, but the utility charge at the fire station, I may have missed something along the way. That's due to more water consumption for why?
I believe it was for the lawn.
We haven't maintained the lawn in the last 5 years. So the water usage for those 5 years is probably dramatically less than it was this past year when we renovated the lawn.
Okay, so thank you.
Watering the landscaping.
Where's the lawn at the fire station?
It's on both sides. There's a small strip in between the fire station and the driveway. Okay. And then around the flagpole is a large area of grass.
Okay. Darn it. It's pretty though. For some reason, this month when I was looking at this, I was getting confused with the quarterly report with the annual budget year to date and current year. When you go down the column, there's one item, $51,434 is red and in parentheses, and then the one right next to it is $108,123 is in red, but no parentheses. Then right above it, the $96,800, that's in parentheses. So I'm getting confused with the parentheses here.
Yeah, that's our debt service, Janice. And it is confusing the way that Gilbert had put this together to have us report it. Okay. We're sending our budget off to Gilbert for them to reformat and kind of manage that document. Mm-hmm. I also am going to be sending this document over as well, because I would like them to take a look at it. The lady who created this for us, Jamie Matthews with Gilbert, has been gone for several years now, or a couple years at least. Mm-hmm. And I want to see if there's something that is a little bit more functional, or maybe separating the debt service off of the sheet, because it is confusing how it's reported. Mm-hmm. So I will bring that to their attention when I send this over.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, well.
Anybody else have any comments before we move on to the next item?
Excellent job, Jennifer, on the
report
and presentation.
Thank you.
Yes, good job. Okay, item B, review and update of the 20, oh, I'm sorry, did we have any public comments?
No public comment.
Okay, thank you. Review and update of the 2020-2022 management objectives, which identify management actions intended to accomplish the goals of the board of directors.
Okay. I'm going to attempt to find something here.
Okay. On your three screens?
Yeah.
How many keyboards do you have?
How many what?
Keyboards.
Two.
Okay.
I have the keyboard for the, I'm going to try to figure out why. I can't share it. It always wants to bring up the Zoom screen. So I want screen two. I'm going to do this. Hang on a second. I'm going to share this and then I'm going to try to get rid of this. Tell me when you see, wait, hang on, I'm gonna put this up here. All right, tell me if you see a pretty picture.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yosemite.
All right, we're off the room. I'm gonna, hang on real quick, I'm gonna drop the management objectives onto this screen over here. Yeah, I know, it's gone. It'll be back.
Okay.
Ready, go. Okay. All right. So do you see the management update report? Okay.
No.
So go ahead, Bob.
Just the title, Pete.
Right. Okay. No, I'm gonna jump into it now. I just want to give you basically a summary on where we've been and where we're going to be going for the next quarter or so. And hopefully that'll be helpful in weaving our way through this. And I'll talk about each major item here, just in enough detail so that you know specifically where we're putting our effort and make sure we're aligned again in our vision of where we're going with the district and where management is putting its time. And this is as much a communication item as it is a performance measurement or whatever you want to call it. It's really helpful to me to make sure that we are going the same direction as we move the district forward, because we everything that I do drives everything that everyone else does, and so we spend a lot of time and effort on moving these things forward. But I presented the matrix that you're familiar with that lists all of the objectives. I give the last reporting period, which was July through September, and then October through December is the period that we're focusing on at this point for this discussion. So I'm going to run through this really brief presentation, and then we can jump into details on the sheet if you'd like. Does that work? Okay. All right. So I haven't tried this one in a while, but just kind of looking. I want to look back on 2021 a little bit. It was, or 2020. It is kind of like jumping off a cliff or jumping between two rocks. It's not like everything in the world changed and squared around when the clock turned over. But we did a lot of really good things in 2020. Across the board with the district, just an amazing amount of effort went into it. Some of the goals, the management goals that I work from and all of us work from, are creating the partnerships to increase the fire and emergency response resources on the corridor. That was probably in the last quarter the biggest effort. and to take actions to stabilize funding for fire. As you can see, there's a common theme here with fire, but also planning and funding the park improvements and new amenities, kicking those things off, making sure those are on track, and then creating a foundation for solid understanding of GCSD now and in the future. And I'll get into a little bit of detail about each of those. Obviously, the things that we did to protect our level of service, this was not anything related to the project specifically and its merits as much as it was just creating an understanding that as we roll our engines outside of the district boundaries, they are then unavailable to respond in the district boundaries without a delay. So we participated heavily in the Under Canvas Project EIR, many thousands of pages, both staff and legal counsel, you know, Jennifer and I, Rachel, and obviously Andy and his crew, and developing comments and delivering those comments and sitting through 5-hour hearings for both Under Canvas and TerraV, pretty much mirrored Planning Commission and the Board of Supervisors. And it looks like the lawsuits have been filed pretty much on both of these projects. I don't know how that's all gonna go, but we've done what we can on those. There's probably no more involvement of the district on the projects, other than to cooperate with the county. And that would be through the Tomah County Fire Authority formation and its activities, as well as working with the county as they look at expanding their presence on the corridor. If they do a station or whatever, we'll continue to work with that. But I expect that conversation to continue, and there will be meetings and activities related to the fire authority that is formed, and we'll start to have meetings next month. So big, kind of big deals. Getting those done. The development impact fee study, we kicked that off. We're well in the middle of that, if not 70 or 80% done. We've got some a major work product of the consultant that we need to review that will likely be presented to the board as a concept of the land use, a land use document that basically is the basis for how we charge these development impact fees. It's how we would apply the fees to new projects. In other words, what does the commercial properties pay? What is a lodging property pay, a retail, a restaurant, in terms of development impact fees? Not the dollar amount as much as the way that the way that it's compared to a single family impact. So that is that's a big project. The community facilities district formation, that is progressing. They're using the data that is generated in this land use memo that Jennifer and I will comment on next week and get to the board for review at our February meeting. The LAFCU Municipal Service Review keeps coming up, and I need to make sure that the board understands that one thing that is really important to me in management of the district is establishing a foundation of where we are today and a little bit of history of how we got here, so that it's really clear going forward why we're doing what we're doing. This municipal service review is the first time that the county has used a consultant. And that it, this is a report that the county does every 5 years, basically to show the viability of the district going forward, to be able to be a service provider. And if it is determined to not be viable, then recommendations for consolidation or dissolution or reorganization so that the services are efficient. I know that seems like a no-brainer, but sometimes if you don't respond appropriately to the questioning from the consultant, they'll come out with recommendations that will live with the district and tarnish its appearance for a period of 5 years. And I can't live with that. So we're providing huge amounts of information. It's been a big effort on all of our part to get that documentation to the county. One of the big things that we spent time on this past quarter was the prior municipal service review had some documentation about some regulatory problems that we had back in the early 2000s and then again in 2010 and 2011 related to treatment plant failures, operator failures, and sanitary sewer overflows. And there was a lot of focus on it for whatever reason that got a big notoriety, and it was documented in the MSR like it had not been resolved. And so we had to go back through the documentation and recreate the record that none of us had any experience with to try to answer that question. And we've come a long way. We're a different district. Bob, do you agree with that, at least in appearance?
Certainly. I mean, we've been, last time we had a big issue was 2000, it was actually before my time on the board, but it was 2010. Was that the 2000?
Yeah, it might've been 2011.
Was the sewer spill where we didn't report it quite accurately. And incurred a million and some change dollar fine from the Department of Water Resources. So we certainly haven't had anything like that. And I'm sure our position is a lot different.
Yeah, it absolutely is. And I mean, Louis can speak to that too, but we were in, you know, we in 2000, the problem was primarily the sewer lift stations, the type of pumping systems that we had, the reliability or lack of a backup power supply during power outage and storage on site. So in other words, when they would back up, they would overflow relatively quickly. And so there were a number of improvements, and the reason for the sewer bonds was to upgrade those lift stations to add storage and change the pumping components so that it was more reliable. That's huge. We don't want to be forced to do this stuff because number one, you take on debt when debt is not, you take on debt because you have to rather than because you want to. And you don't get to plan it and you have to move projects forward faster without really looking at the master planning, how you would do it in a, you know, in a forward thinking world. So that's what we're doing in the master plan and everything else is looking forward at the way that we want the system to be improved in the future. How much is it going to cost and when to make sure that we have the financial resources available and we can shop money. You know, but this, that, so 2000, that resulted in the sewer lift station upgrades and the sewer debt and all that. And then, the collection system failures and the just standard sanitary sewer overflows really, but they were, not calculated correctly and the gallons overflowed according to the state, water board. And we did make some improvements, at the treatment plant, and made payments to the state. So there was a negotiated settlement on that. So we documented all that in our response to the service review. So when we read it, when future managers, board members, read this document, they'll understand the history and why we're focusing so much on forward thinking infrastructure and planning. Mm-hmm. So anyway, I realize that was a long discussion, but this has been probably 20% of my time over the last quarter, really just diving into this stuff. So anyway, we may have a draft report by our next workshop from this LAFCO consultant. We will have a draft to review before it goes to the LAFCO board. But we'll see how that goes. The Clearwell rehab construction, that is basically my role is to basically stand back and just make sure that we're headed in a good direction here, that we're not headed for problems with the contractor to make sure that the engineering team is providing the services that we expect in managing the quality control and documentation for the project, that we have the money to be able to pay the bills, because we'll probably be seeing $1 million invoices here pretty soon. And those are hard to pay. And then getting reimbursements in a timely manner from the state. So I have to oversee the preparation of the reimbursement requests, any claims by the contractor. The project has been going well and is within budget. There have been a couple of claims. And when we say claims, that means that they claim that there is something extra that they did or had to do that wasn't anticipated when they bid the project, and it results in a change order if it's approved, which is absolutely normal to have construction change orders. But they've claimed there were a couple of things that they claimed that were a little bit excessive. We have not yet approved. We approved one change order that was completely normal. And then the second change order that we just recently rejected, or the claim was related to cleaning oil off of the inside of the tank before they sandblasted. You know, they had to go in and clean this lubricant basically from the pumps that had, for whatever reason, accumulated on the walls of the tank, and they can't sandblast that into the metal. They have to clean it off and then sandblast once they do all the work. So they're claiming $40,000 in effort to clean what they considered too much oil off of the metal that they didn't know about. So we're working through those things.
With toothbrushes or what?
steam cleaners and
my goodness.
Yeah. I mean, you know, you got to understand that it's a significant effort. Everything in there is, it's a lot of work. You know, you've got a lot of surface area. It's got to be anywhere. If they don't get it right on the entire interior of that tank, if they don't get that preparation right, and have failed sections of coating, it's extremely expensive to make repairs on that, you know, and obviously they're responsible for any repairs during the warranty period. And, you know, we want a 20-year fix here when you're
right.
$1 million. But
just out of curiosity, is this not a change order that they would get prior approval for?
There's a whole process that goes on. Basically, when they identify something that they consider a change that wasn't addressed in the contract documents, they'll bring it up to the district engineer. It's only if it's mission critical that they'll actually stop work and delay the work.
Okay.
But in this case, you know, I mean, it had to be done. We're not going to approve a delay in the project while we argue over whether it needs to be cleaned or not. Everybody knows it needs to be cleaned. So you just clean it, and then they submit a claim for additional work, you know, additional money. And then we review it. In this case, it's there's a number of factors. You know, they're claiming that it's not a standard drinking water tank issue to have that level of oil on the inside, and they didn't attend the pre-bid meeting, so they weren't aware of it when it was discussed at the pre-bid meeting. So it's kind of shame on them for not being at the pre-bid meeting. But the fact that it was the only way that any bidder would have really known how much would be to pay to send a diver in there to do a sample. And I don't think anybody would have ever done it. So anyway, it's a complex web, because usually what will happen is you get down to the end and those are still outstanding. If the contractor really still wants to pursue it, they'll actually take it to arbitration. And the arbiter will usually say, negotiate, can you guys negotiate a deal? You know, again, these costs that we're talking about are within the budget for the project. We haven't had anything that's outside that budget at this point. I mean, we didn't budget for the oil removal change order, but it's within the total overall project, including the contingencies and the renovations that we had expected. So,
yes, Bob has a question.
Yeah, this is actually sort of a historical question. We found out shortly before you joined us, we went through had the divers in the Big Creek tank and discovered the corrosion that was present in that tank. Mm-hmm. My recollection is that I was told that at that point, it had only been 5 or 6 or 7 years since the last time the tank had been coated. Does that correspond to what your understanding of the history of it was? I mean, we didn't get anywhere near 20 years out of the previous coating. I mean, this is all stuff that I was, you know, told, not stuff that I actually lived through, other than discovering the corrosion part.
Louie, are you still on? I can't see the screen with everybody.
I'm still here.
Okay, good.
So we were kind of discussing this yesterday. My recollection is we never actually had those tanks coated at all. We had the second Grody chlorine contact tank coated, but since I've been here, we have not had a project where we coated the clear wells at all. So I'm not sure where that came from. I know they inspected it quite a few times, and I know the coating inside the new chlorine contact tanks failed shortly after they installed those, but nothing with the
tank. Maybe it may be that I'm confused about whether it was the clear well or the contact tank. I mean, this was quite a while ago. Okay.
Yeah. So I know those tanks, the chlorine contact tanks, failed relatively fast after they were installed, and that's why second Grody was done, and the coating inside the Big Creek one is failed pretty bad towards the roof as well. So that's only my recollection. I'm not sure if there's paperwork.
Yeah, I mean, I was on the board. It was 2013 or 2014 or someplace in there where we discovered that Big Creek had started to fail, as I recall. The clear well. I'm just trying to clarify some, feeble memories that I have.
No problem.
Yeah, I totally understand. That's I had heard similar, but we don't have any documentation that shows that there was a prior recoding project, because it's a major thing. It's taken them down. And as you can see, I mean, it's $3.5 million to redo both of them.
Yeah.
A lot of money. And I don't, those
are one thing. I mean, while it may cause an issue with the budgeting for this thing, if these guys didn't attend the pre-bid meeting and so may have missed some stuff they needed to deal with, there's no question that we definitely want it to be done correctly.
Oh, yeah.
Because This is not the sort of thing you want to have to do more frequently than every 20 years or so.
Absolutely. That's why I say it's kind of I have to kind of stand back as the conductor and make sure, okay, you know, we're within budget, we're on schedule, we're getting the work product that we expect. The inspectors are there and doing their job. Nobody's missing anything. You know, because the contractor not only is, you know, we've got an engineer, basically a resident engineer for all the, you know, the making sure that all the mechanical stuff is done correctly. And then there's a coatings specialist that, although they don't guarantee the work, this is a specialist that we have hired that makes sure that the preparation is according to the specifications, you know, that it is they won't say, okay, it's ready to coat, but they'll say you're following the proper procedure and you have, you know, you've done the right work to get the right work product. And the same goes with the fact that they have to control the humidity once they get the sandblasting all done so that there's no rust formation or moisture that forms on the inside of the tank. As they coat it, it has to cure at a certain moisture rating. So there's really a lot of factors that the inspector documents. And if there's any problems that they identify during that, then they'll raise it with the contractor. They'll say, your temperature, your humidity level is not meeting where it needs to be for coating today. Mm-hmm. The contractor can still go forward and coat it at their risk because they may have to remove it completely and redo it. They will if it fails or has any problems, and it'll be documented for the record that it was wrong. The inspector won't say, hey, stop coating, you know, stop work because, because you're not meeting the standard. That's what's really tricky is, you know, you want to just take the contractor. Again, we're not having that problem. So just understand it's not like a real issue that's happening, but sometimes you get a contractor that you just want to say, stop it. You can't do it that way. We're going to make you take it back out.
Yeah.
And, you just got to let them do it that way and then make them take it back out. That's just the way it works, because if you tell them to do it a certain way or not do it and it works, they'll claim a change order, and then you'll have, you know, you'll have that to deal with. So there's a whole body of law and procedures that we have to maneuver within to get the right product, to get the right project and everything. So we've got the Clear Roll project, and then I'll be talking about the other projects that are coming up that are even just as and more complex in that type of stuff. So the Clearwell project is coming along really well. They're supposed to be coating it here pretty soon at Big Creek. And they're working. Any status update, Louie, on the pump station?
They were not out there yesterday. I know they poured the pad underneath the new pump system and the retaining wall, on the outside, but it was covered up yesterday. Nobody was working because of the snow. And an update on the Clearwell, I was out there yesterday, and they're looking at most likely be painting the lid by next week. So that's kind of where they're at right now. The paint's supposed to be delivered today. So
it's Ronnie, did you have a question?
Yeah, I did. I just wanted to find out if I could get some nitty-gritty details from you, Louie, to share some pictures of the new, the concrete they poured, et cetera, just to kind of update the constituency on the progress of the project.
Yeah, I can work on that. I didn't get any pictures of the concrete on Friday or Thursday, actually, because they're in the middle of pouring it. So I can hopefully get some by tomorrow. Or the next for you, once the snow kind of goes away a little bit, and then
that's right, the snow.
It's covered. They covered it to keep the concrete from really freezing all the way, and so it's kind of a mess out there. But I'll see what I can do to get you some pictures of that. And then with the Clearwell, I can't really get any pictures of that because they're sandblasting, so I can't really go in the tank.
If you can just send me a quick little like where they're at, like there's sandblasting the inside, they've poured the concrete on this, just real short and sweet, and then I can build around that. That'd be awesome.
Okay, I can do that.
Thank you.
Yeah, they'll be, once they get the coating done, the booster pump has to be operational to be able to move water so that they can take the other Clearwell down and get going on it. Still expecting by, before the high consumption period that both will be done, and we will have spent $3 million, it is what it is. The infrastructure is extremely expensive to maintain. And these are, These are generations of management and board anyway. So that's kind of a public works project excitement for General Manager 101 for that project. Also working with the county, as you know, they are out to bid on the construction of the resource center.
Yes.
Or resilience center. I'm sorry, I've got a resource center. It's a resilience center. No wonder I couldn't remember what the name was. The resilience center. And Louie and Alfonso spent a bunch of time getting the going through the plans for the water and sewer connections. And anyway, they'll be in construction here relatively soon. And
that's exciting.
Yeah. Spencer?
Hey, Pete, is that where they've staked out those flags over there by the PML front gate? The resource center? Somebody was out there, surveyors were out there, and they put in a bunch of red flags, stakes and red flags, and I was assuming that that would be the resiliency center. Was I correct in that assumption?
Yes, you are. That's exactly
all right. Thanks, Louie.
You're welcome.
Just so everybody knows, I can only see three people on here at a time because Pete's sharing his screen. So if you're putting your hand up, I can't see you.
But no Pete, worries.
Rachel.
Yeah, Janice, I'll help you.
Okay, thank you very much. I'm not ignoring people. Thanks.
Okay, so the Resilience Center, we don't have a lot more involvement when they get into construction and start connecting to the utilities. There will be some involvement on our part, but I want to make sure, you know, we're facilitating that. It hasn't been a huge effort, but it was more for Louie and Alfonso. Water and Sewer Master Plan, we had to really kind of go back internally and take a look and reboot because there were we weren't really on a parallel track of what we were looking for in the end result. So we spent a bunch of time with the consultant Wood Rogers and have got them going in the right direction. Louis done a bunch of field investigation to document conditions and various aspects of our sewer lift stations that we felt were really important going forward to know what was there and what improvements were needed as part of this capital improvement plan that they'll put together. The last schedule that I saw was January. I don't think so. I'm not saying we delayed it at all, but we have definitely done a lot of quality review to make sure that it's got in it what we're looking for. So I think I have in there February or March for review, but we're getting close. We're, again, this is something we're not going to fast track it to get just to get it done. This is a document that lives on for a long time.
Okay.
The permanent interconnection hub project got through the final project plans. PG&E is out with their contract, has let the contract. So as soon as they get done with another project that they're working on in another community, they'll be here to start making connections. Oh, probably okay. March in reality. But the good thing is by next fire season, that will be in place.
Hey, Pete.
Yeah.
Can you, when you switch to a new subject, can you say what number you're on? Is that possible?
Because no.
I'm trying to follow with this management objective report. And
yeah, I didn't go. It's not.
Okay. I'll just see.
It doesn't necessarily coincide with exactly.
Okay.
That. Yep. This is more of a high level. This is the detailed.
Okay.
Task level. Let's see.
I'm finding them as you go. Don't worry. No worries. Go ahead.
Okay. All right. I'll do what I can. Sorry about that.
No problem.
So that project, obviously there's not going to be a heck of a lot of work on our part other than locating utilities and making sure that they, we do inspections, that they restore the parking lot back where it was. And that may not occur in the first quarter, but it certainly will by the second quarter, which is a great, great project for the downtown businesses. Okay. So I can move off of what we did. Is there any of the things that I talked about or we went into that you have any questions about before I move on to what we're looking forward to in the next quarter?
I don't.
Yeah, we can always go back. But now we're headed forward down the road. So kind of the same thing. I'm going to do this a little bit different. See if that, I don't know if that makes it easier to read.
Like the pictures though. Like
yeah.
Spence likes this though.
Spence likes his pictures. Here, I'll go back. Oh, I probably killed it. Hang on. Oh. That's okay. Oh, there's no picture on this one anyway. So we expect that there'll be some type of preliminary plan developed for the park in the first quarter. We'll probably have a committee meeting or two to review that as it goes to the board or before it goes to the board, with some graphics and some meat on the bones of where we're going with both the per capita money, which is the $185,000 that we have access to right now for building renovations to our existing facilities, capital projects, and adding facilities, if that's what the recommendations are. And also this plan will have us set for both funding requests through the Centenary Foundation and the various contractors that we're working with, that are working for the SFPUC through the Community Benefits Program. We're meeting with their contractors, their engineering consultants to try to get some cash toward these planning projects. And it's gone well. It's kind of a clunky process with SFPUC. We talked a little bit about it before. We haven't had anybody come forward and say, here's your $10,000 yet, or 20 or 15 or five. We're going to stay with it. But then also for, we are shooting for a November 2021 application submittal to what's called the California Department of Parks, Rural Recreation and Tourism Grant. There's $28 million, that comes available in a single round. It's a maximum of $3 million per project, and it has to meet specified, the project has to meet specified criteria. And Rachel and I both attended a webinar this last week where they covered it in detail in a 3-hour meeting. And our consultants are also attending today, actually, to make sure that we can put together a very comprehensive application that meets all the requirements. This is very much matched with our projects, including the trail, things like the bike park or this, disc golf, anything that brings in people that are going to go to the restaurants, stay in the hotels, stop and visit, whatever it is that helps the economy and gets people healthier. Gets them outside, get them moving. We've got to create some health partnerships. So we're going to be reaching out to Avitus Health in the next quarter. We'll be continuing to work with the Centenary Foundation and the partners at SFPUC. We've got to work through the acquisition of the easement process with SFPUC for the trail. Just a lot of moving components. Our consultant WRT has been out to the site. I got a tour with Rachel and Louie, I think. I know Rachel was part of it. And they, anything you want to add on that, Rachel or Louie, on what they saw? Or
Emily was just really thrilled to be up here. It was kind of a weird day. It was that really windy day that we had with the winds blowing in at 50 miles an hour. But she loved the lower park and all of the amenities. We did the whole tour over there. And then Louie took us on the ATV to where the shred happened, all the and just went on all of the trails back there. She was just really thrilled with being seeing it. It really dialed in a lot of the maps, you know, seeing a visual instead of the maps and everything that we've sent over. So yeah, they're all really thrilled.
What's the thread?
Louis, what is it? It's the mastication that they did.
Yes, it was the Jones Hill fuel break and the mastication that they did up there. So
cool.
It really opens it up so you can see everything.
Mm-hmm. Correct me if I'm wrong, but that's clear up by tank two. You took them clear up there and showed them where all the bike paths could possibly be and that kind of thing?
No, we called it the Jones Hill fuel break, but it started over there by the admin side. And it actually starts on the fence line that goes parallel with the park and goes.
Okay, I know what you're talking about now, Louie.
So it opened it up so well. Like the brush was so tall and thick in there, you couldn't really see what kind of property we had. So now that it's all gone, it's not as steep, and it's actually some nice usable property up in there. So it's good stuff.
Thank you, Louie.
So that will move through and continue through the process. We've got pretty good momentum going now, and I think we're in a groove where before I was a little bit panicked about where we were going, you know, but spending the money on WRT and Rachel and Jen's involvement has been really, really helpful to move this thing forward. Good. So I'm really excited about that.
Thank you, girls.
Yeah. Very much. There'll be a lot of activity from the Tuolumne County Fire Authority. We've already scheduled two and possibly a third meeting over the next 2 and 3 months because there has to be a tax ordinance that's adopted and bylaws and then actually, you know, voting on the measure to get it on the ballot. I'm reaching out to the county to work, you know, to make sure that we have a solid community education program. That is the key to the whole thing. If that doesn't come off right and consistently over the next 6 months, 5.5 months, then we're not going to be successful. So you'll see that is going to be, I would say probably over the next 6 months, that is going to be about 50% of my time. Just knowing what we're up against here. But then in June, if it does get on the ballot and, you know, it gets to the voters, because it's going to be coordinating, you know, community forums, it's going to be very, very strategic outreach and information, because we can't, you know, once the JPA gets a little bit further along and takes up this tax ordinance and all that, where then there's no more advocating for it. You can just educate. And so it's going to be, you got to be a very, very clear message that we say. So anyway, that's going to be a lot of effort.
Has the board said anything about agreeing to, at the last meeting, they were kind of hesitant about
they've delegated the authority when they formed the JPA.
Right.
It's not the authority's business. It's not the Board of Supervisors. So that was just an informational item for them. Okay, and I'm sure there'll be more informational items, and I've committed. I don't think I copied the whole board. Yeah, I probably should, just for information, but I sent a lengthy email to each one of the Board of Supervisors, you know, commending them for their jumping right in and taking up these issues and the, you know, the level of cooperation they've had to this point for a new board is really good. But then also explaining how critical it is that we agree on this thing and that we have a common understanding and messaging about this measure moving forward. So I expect there's just going to be a lot of a lot of meetings, a lot of conversations and everything else, you know, and then you'll get to that rumor control, you know, piece. I'm amazed at how crazy things are. I saw a forum yesterday where people were There were at least 100 people talking about the fact that Under Canvas is a homeless camp.
Oh my gosh.
Outside Groveland. How can people be that uninformed? Ronnie, you'll probably laugh at me about that, but I mean, I couldn't even get involved in the conversation, but that's what we're going to deal with this artifacts as well.
Pretty remarkable. It's unsettling, honestly. It's remarkable. The misinformation, but we see it with everything, don't we?
Yeah. And so, you know, as you can imagine, people are going to get really confused about this. And
I would say social media may have something to do with that confusion of homeless camps and Under Canvas. My God.
Yeah.
I have to just comment that Jaron's new supervisor of District 5 is doing an amazing job with just putting facts out there. And if you guys follow social media at all, he does a really good job of simplifying things for people and stating the facts. It's impressive.
Is that the guy that sits on the far left side?
If you're looking. A real young dude. Yeah. That took Carl's place.
Yes. Okay.
Anyway, yeah. That's a side note. Sorry.
He went to high school with my daughter.
Really?
Cool.
Yeah. Don't you feel old, Pete?
Nice.
I'm sorry.
I didn't know that. But anyway, he's communicated back with me and thanked me for the information. And so, you know, Kathleen as well. So Supervisor Half and Jaron Brandon are obviously going to take a very interested, active role in this. And I expect the whole board will. I'm really pleased with the chair. Oh my gosh, he's going to kill me for not remembering his name.
Ryan.
Yeah, Ryan Campbell. Sorry. I've worked with
I'm telling you.
Ryan worked with me when he was with the Union Democrat and I was at TUD. I informed him on California water issues and stuff. And cool. we had a really good working relationship. Anyway, so he's doing a good job. So anyway, that's going to be a significant effort. I am not complaining about it. It's the future of going forward. I think we've got a great opportunity to do some really good things. And so we look forward to that success. We will be probably talking about certainly the methodology related to the impact mitigation fee that the consultant is developing for us. And that again is a one-time fee that would happen when, for example, somebody does a hotel or, you know, a campground or develops a restaurant property or something. There would be for them to receive the service, they would pay in their proportional share of impact to the service so that we in the future can plan on that additional fire engine and the additional equipment and space. That's physical things, not operating expense, not people.
Mm-hmm.
That's a one-time fee. The Community Facilities District, on the other hand, is ongoing funding that supplements our property tax money to make sure we have enough money to have the people for those new engines.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so and to purchase them. So those two work together. Hopefully we'll see some of that work product in the next quarter. This is a big one, the Downtown Groveland Big Oak Flat sewer rehabilitation and the head work. I'm getting feedback.
There. Yeah, if to go back to the Community Facilities District, that's in regard to the SCAR area.
It is district wide. And so it'll be it's going to be on the district property, you know, and with the rest of the district boundaries and sphere of influence intended to annex in to that community facilities district when they go through the county land use development process. In other words, as that project at the SCAR goes forward, and as a condition of getting their permits through the county, they will have to annex into the community facilities district so that they become subject to that tax.
I understand now. Thank you.
Okay.
And the reason, remember, it's the not reason a, I was.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry, Pete, go ahead.
I was just going to say, remember, it's not a district like we are. It's only a funding zone. And we can't implement that funding zone on existing properties without their voter approval. But we can condition it on new development so that when new development comes forward through the county process, a subdivision, a use permit, a major development project like that that goes through an environmental review, they can be subject to it as a condition of receiving the service.
Okay, and the community facilities district that we were talking about, or that was talked about for Terra V and the ones up country, that is something the county would have to do, not us.
You're exactly correct.
Okay, now I'm straight. Thank you. You guys have got an amazing ability to keep me informed. I appreciate it. Thank you.
It's a lot of complicated issues all at once.
Yeah.
A lot of moving parts, a lot of players, but I really appreciate your, going through this process, because if you're as a board, if you're going off this way thinking one thing and I'm doing this over here, sometimes when it comes together, it's not pretty, you know. I didn't know what that manager was doing. That's not something we voted on. Well, there's a lot of things that happen in between these meetings and in between actions of the board that I want to make sure that I'm representing your needs and interests. So it's cool.
That very well, I might add.
Yeah.
So I'm glad we had clarity on that. Going forward, this next big project, we've got the grant agreement for 5.8 million is the grant and loan, 75% grant, 25% loan. That funds the sewer rehabilitation project. We need to get that thing out to bid as soon as we can get the plans and specs done. This project had the planning grant that did all the evaluation and documentation, but it did not, that particular planning grant of the $400,000+ did not address the plans and specifications. That doesn't, The water planning grant did. It required preparing plans and specs ready for bid. So that's sitting over here. The sewer planning grant only did the evaluation, documentation, and the feasibility level design. So now our engineer is working on the final design, plans and specs. We have to be out to bid by March.
Okay.
They will be coming. We'll be coming to the board, and I'm going to be continue to push for March because we can't get. We have to follow the state's schedule, and they want us in construction by. They're thinking by the end of March, but we're telling them it'll be the end of May. So we got to keep that project going forward. Understand. That is in your face. It is contracted, maybe two construction crews. There could be traffic control in two areas of the community at the same time. There could be service interruptions on water because there may be unknown areas where the water line gets hit because we didn't know it was there, or a service line was there and we didn't know it was there. And you have to work really fast to get things shut off. You can't just say, oh, let's come back to this tomorrow and hold the contractor up for a day, because they'll bill you that day's rate while they're waiting to get in that trench and work. So you have to get in there, get it shut down, let them cut it out and just keep going, and then lick your wounds and go on, So we got to understand there's going to be times when people are out of water that there's no way we could have known that it was going to happen because we don't have accurate plans. Mm-hmm. of our existing system.
Is there a way that you can make the community known that that's a potential problem, Ronnie? She's nodding her head. Yes, I knew she could.
Sure. Well, we can put it out there. People are going to get, they're going to get upset. You know, why didn't they notify me? You know, the stupid contractors out here and he just tearing things up and, you know, the district should have planned for this.
And so we have been.
And we will require that the contractor does potholing, you know, to identify where other conflicts and utilities and culverts and other things are. You know, they go out and they dig a hole and they typically suck the dirt out and they identify where things are. And, you know, and we do our best to show, where existing utilities are on the plans so that the contractor knows, hey, at 3 feet down, there's a water line. You know, in 90% or more of the time, there's no issue. It's just sometimes the district maybe extended or put a stub out over here and didn't put it on the as-built drawings. And so it's sitting there, but it's not going to show. And the contractor be digging along, hit it, break it. And then we got to shut it down really fast, to keep them going. So there's just a lot of, we'll want to do outreach, particularly Ronnie, on any of the commercial areas, you know, where there may be disruptions or noise. We want to get their input on construction hours. You know, they can't drive the contractor. You know, we got to be careful about that. But if there's certain restrictions or certain things going on that we need to build into the plans, you know, into the specifications for the project, we will, you know. So those are, that is something that, and we will require that the contractor actively participate in the communication plan. In other words, they'll communicate their schedule. They will, in many cases, if there is a plan shutdown in an area, and this is especially true when we get to the water project, they will hand deliver a shutoff tag, letting them know that on Tuesday for this half of the day, the water will be shut down. You know, that's subject to internally between Rachel and I and Jen and Louie. We need to work out the details on that. But anyway, I just want you to know that's going to be a lot of communication among us when we get to an underground project. That's all I'll say about that for now, but understand that we got to get that out to bid. So you see a lot of, we will be spending a lot of time, Louie will be spending a lot of time with Alfonso to get that all the way through to be able to bid it out in March. Louie's been working on the safety program. Good. Oh,
sorry.
Did you need me, Mike?
He just wanted to see everybody and he can't because your screen's shared. That's all.
So Louis has had the consultant out to do a review of our safety program, injury and illness prevention plan, and all that. And it looks like we're pretty much going to have to can it and rewrite it. Is that a good statement, Louis?
Really?
It comes down to everything we've had is pretty much outdated for the most part and needs to be brought to current, and some of the stuff needs to be finished. So that's kind of where we're at, and to try to do it in-house is probably not a feasible thing because we've tried that in the past. So we're going to have somebody come in that's a professional to finish out some of these programs and some of the stuff that OSHA actually requires for us. And if they showed up, they would want to see. So we do our part with our safety talks and our tailgate safety meetings and our weekly meetings and stuff, but all of our programs are just, they're not complete. So it's going to be a lot of work to get that done.
Yeah. In looking at the record prior to 2010, you know, prior to the, the demise of GCSD or, you know, when we started cutting everything back, drastically, the district had contracted on a regular basis with a safety consultant to upgrade the safety program. and to keep it current, and also to deliver some of the mandatory training. I mean, so there was a, they actually let a contract and put it out for proposals to have that done. The in as a cost saving measure, they brought it in house, and it has not been updated since. Okay, so it's just Louis is being very kind when he says it would be difficult for us to do. I'd say it's impossible. We are not safety specialists. If we were just dealing with a Band-Aid program, you know, a first aid, implementing a first aid program, that might be one thing, but the, you know, the complete update of our IAPP and everything, we need to get that done, you know, for, if nothing else, for the safety of employees and our insurance provider.
Now, is that a new initiative on this list or not? Not yet.
It is. It's up, go to... it's at item 3.
Oh.
So we will have a discussion about the next steps at our February meeting.
Okay, got it. Thank you.
Thank you for asking. So anyway, that's going to be another effort over the next quarter. Human resources consultant, we've been talking about that forever. I've got to get, it's in my court right now to get that out. So that, now that I'm past the fire stuff and I've got, that's the next priority for me right now. And that's, we've been talking about that. That's items 1 and item 1A, B, and C.
Just out of curiosity, does our payroll, we have the payrolls outsourced, correct?
No, we do that internally currently.
Okay, Deb, I thought, I knew Deb collected it. I wasn't sure if she actually did it or not. Okay.
Yeah, we're looking at all those options.
Yeah, because a lot of the payroll companies have human resources that you can, you know, that can go right along with your, you just, it's a fee you pay when you would ask a question or use it or have a conversation meeting or whatever. So, Okay, cool.
Yeah. And then one of the things that Jennifer and I talked about is kind of stepping back internally before we kick off any additional initiatives, you know, because we've got everything from our records management program to implementing the technologies that we've purchased and are populating currently to get going. All of those things are in progress, and we need to step back, look at the schedule, look at the assignments, internally come up with a tracking system. We've just got so many balls in the air, we can't even see our face, you know. So this is just a way, a discussion that it's really not going to come forward in any particular management objective. It's just more of an internal thing. Mm-hmm. If you want to ask, why do we have a bunch of completed things on, we're not adding more things for you to do. It's because we're also going to spend a little time on our own house and getting that in order. Mm-hmm. You know, we've got some really good, powerful software and programs and people ready to take the next step in their career to take on these new responsibilities and mold them and get them in place. And we need to focus internally on that a little bit. Jen did a fantastic job pulling her staff together and for a day long meeting and going over where everybody is on stuff. So anyway, it's just gonna be a system of prioritization and communication internally so that we can stay on track. It's hard to even list everything we're working on, you know, so which is, it's great that we're able to keep it all going. So that is really a high level overview. I'm going to stop sharing my screen here.
Okay.
Which is, let's see, meeting controls. Stop meeting. No, stop share. Sorry.
Kudos to the, real quickly here, kudos to the entire office staff for all the, just to be able to keep all the hats on their heads at all times, whether they're in their office or working from home. It's just crazy and amazing to sit back and watch. So thank you. Pass that along, please. Thank you. Yeah.
Absolutely. We really appreciate the recognition, and it goes a long way, and I'll make sure that all the admin staff hears it.
Thank you very much.
And let's extend that to the operations folks that are breaking the ice and you know, slipping and sliding and you know, getting the meters read and getting the systems fixed, getting the inspections done, doing the maintenance that they do all the time, and just, you know, kind of running behind the scenes. We talk a lot about administrative structure and everything else and projects, but the day-to-day is where Louis lives. Mm-hmm. And sometimes when it's really quiet, it's really nice, but understand that it's not easy to keep it that way. You can see where we've been in the past, and we're doing everything that we can to plan for the future. Mm-hmm. And so Louis and his crew are doing an absolutely fantastic job.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
Guys, all you guys.
I've got to say too that Louis is doing a lot of the projects too, a lot of the planning and making these projects happening along with the day-to-day activity. That's one busy young man, I can guarantee you that.
Yeah.
Well done, Louis. You're doing a great job.
Yeah.
Thank you, Spence. I appreciate it. I have a good supporting cast, like Pete just said, so I will pass it all along. So we have our moments. That's for sure, that it's quiet and then it picks up real fast. That's all I know. And then it's good for 2 weeks like that, and then it kind of slows back down. But it's a never a dull moment.
Didn't we miss our chance to kind of embarrass Louis about his 14 years? Congratulate him on his anniversary because he wasn't here. So now we can all say congratulations, Lily.
We're saving that for a February meeting.
Oh, good. Okay.
Oh, gotcha. Well, thanks.
I'll wear a hat.
What? Yeah. Okay. What? Something will show up on his calendar.
Yeah.
Oh, I got it. Yeah.
Sorry, Lou. Sorry.
So we can.
That's all good. Don't worry about it. It's been a good 14 years.
Yeah.
Wow. That's long time.
I saw some pretty awesome pictures of a young pudgy faced little kid. And now there's Louis, who's got it all.
You must share those pictures, Mr. Campa.
At the February meeting.
It's very
funny. February. I'm looking forward to that.
It's not one we want to miss.
We should all just change our thing for the February meeting to a picture of us when we were a child and see if everybody can figure out who's who.
Well, our name pops up, unfortunately.
Well, we could change the name to just ?
Yeah, we could.
That'll be a good exercise. I like that.
Yeah, it would. I learned how to spell my name without capital letters while I was sitting here.
Good.
At our last meeting, it drove me crazy because you were capital KWIAT, or no, you were all capitals except for the second K, I'm pretty sure was small, and it was just like, oh God, driving me crazy. you know, sometimes OCD things just bug you a little bit.
Yeah, yep. I didn't even notice, but thanks for telling me.
So just to back up to the sheet and the status again, we don't need to go through line by line. I'm looking for any questions, any suggestions, any disagreements, any why do you have it listed that way? If everyone's had a chance to look at it, again, it's not the end all.
I just found out that it was the completed quarter. I thought it still said just October like the last one did, and then I went,
I had the heading wrong on the last one. I'm sorry, I should have said that. On the last time we reviewed this, the heading of the column was October through December. reviewed at the October meeting. So I don't know exactly how, I just never looked back at it, I guess. So when I, so this is corrected. This is the January workshop review meeting for the period of October through December.
Thank you. No, it looks, it all looks good to me.
Yeah, the, you know, I mean, as you can tell, the, there's still some, because of the, where the energy was and the work effort, there are certain things that are on a timeline track that are absolute. And I talked a little bit about those, the, you know, the fire JPA and those related activities, the sewer project and bidding and all of that, and the headworks project and its bidding and those timelines, those are absolute and have to, we have to work within that. There are things like that, that are on a schedule that I have to meet that before I work on other things, but I really actually kind of work on everything altogether. So I've attempted to adjust some of the, where there's still outstanding items. I've attempted to adjust. You'll see places where we started a year ago and then revised it once and revised it again. I hope that those are somewhat accurate. If there ever becomes a timeline, an absolute timeline associated with something that's been put off, then there's, you know, then I'll make that clear. For example, the state park per capita grant, it has to be, that agreement has to be executed by December 31st of 2021, of this year, December 31st. The agreement has to be executed. So all of the projects have to be identified and everything else. And then the work done by 2025, which is not an issue, but so many of these due dates are, again, they're not firm because I've got a timeline associated with them. They're the best target that I have at the time. And they are my priorities.
Mm-hmm.
On the electronic version, I've linked a number of documents. I'm going to try, as I keep this updated, and documents or programs or projects come out of it, and can be linked, I will link those. I load them on our website and then link it from there.
Okay.
So if you're looking at a paper copy, the text will look different, but you can't really link from a paper copy. Mm-hmm. So if we learn how to use this as far as a hyperlink, I don't know if anybody's tried it yet or not.
Yeah, I tried it on my phone and it didn't work, but does just my phone.
Yeah, I know it's kind of hard to do, but if we ever want to go through this in that way and go and show the process of review and links and everything, mm-hmm. We can certainly do that.
Okay. Are these items that are completed going to come off of this list? Are they going to remain on here?
I haven't really determined whether at what point we want to take them off. Sometimes I feel like I just want to take it off. It's been completed for a couple months.
Yeah.
Special district representation on LAFCO. I don't even need to waste any time on it anymore.
Yeah.
Writing the word completed. It's whether we do it on a calendar year or fiscal year,
mm-hmm.
or a review year. I'd say
after the evaluation, take them off.
Yeah, so we'll do it on a calendar year. I can purge those off.
Okay, cool.
We can clean it up a little bit. Input, questions, criticism?
Might want to save some of the completed items as a historical document in some way. I think that'd be an advantage somewhere down the road. As Bob was saying earlier in the meeting, he was remembering, you know,
sure.
something that was happening to a clear
completed
well.
Completed management objectives would
be completed and would be could nice. Help us help the district in the future, sure. saying, well, back in 2020, we did this, and they could be saying that in 2030. Might help them in the future.
Rachel, I think we can work that out. We can work on getting all the completeds pulled off of this sheet, dropped onto another one, and then we can link these. For example, like the completed LAFCO representation resolution that we did, that would just kind of that would wrap that up. Each one of these probably has some type of deliverable, either a board report or something that we can link up and put it in a completed doc. That's good suggestions.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Very cool.
So I did not do a submittal. You know, when we get done with this, I would like to just have a simple motion approving the updated and or amended management objectives.
Okay. Did anybody else have any questions or comments on the report? Bob, did you spend all your questions on your prior meeting?
I think the report is pretty clear. I don't have anything. I'll move to receive and to approve, receive and file the updated management objectives as presented.
I will second that.
Okay, thank you, Spencer. Do you have any public?
And also in the next, if I may, in the next couple of minutes, I'm gonna have to be signing out.
Okay.
My apologies to all these. No, I really like these workshops. It was just inconvenient when I got two appointments in the same time.
Sure. Any comments on any of this, Rachel, from any members of the public? Okay,
it's been moved by Director Swan, seconded by Director Edwards to receive and approve the management objectives. And I will now call for the vote. Director Kwiatkowski?
Yes.
Director Mora?
Yes.
Director Edwards?
Yes.
And Director Swan?
Aye.
And Director Armstrong is absent. The motion carries. Four in favor and one director absent.
Thank you, Rachel. Okay, Spence, take care. Have a good appointment.
Okay. Once again, my apologies, folks.
No problem.
No, we appreciate your time.
Yeah, absolutely. We're pretty much done almost. Did you have anything else you wanted to discuss, Pete? Besides item C?
There were two new objectives there that I didn't highlight, but I talked about in the presentation. And those are related to the firm timeline for the park grant that we feel we absolutely qualify for. Doesn't mean we're not looking for other grants, but be a busy time.
Yes.
That's good.
Okay, we're going to move on to item C, approval of a resolution awarding a contract with Ragsdale and Sons for the rebid of the Groveland Community Service District Pavement Rehabilitation Project and authorizing the general manager to award the construction contract.
Do we have any questions about this? We've heard it a couple times. We've got it in the budget. Mm-hmm. We got good bids that we expected to get. We aren't awarding the entire project together just because the bids came in where if we awarded all three, which is the base bid, and there were two additive items. I don't know if you saw in the bid sheet that I attached that there were two additional pieces of the project of our asphalt improvements that we wanted to make sure that we had prices on in the event that we could move forward with those items. One was the district vehicle storage area. The road is pretty well thrashed. And that is part of this recommended award. The bid addition number two, which is pavement replacement at tank number two. Although that, you know, that bid is probably reasonable for that work. It puts us above the competitive bid limits, and we would have to reject everything and go back out to bid to the plan centers and all of that. So we're going to just award the base bid and additive number or addition number one, and then we will bid tank number two the next time we have a big asphalt project come up.
Okay.
So that we can combine them and get a better deal.
Have we used this construction company before? Ragsdale?
Louis?
Nope.
Okay.
Yeah, in the case of anything between with bids between $60,000 and $200,000, we're required, if we're going to award a contract, we have to award it to the lowest responsible bidder, meaning the lowest bidder that meets the qualifications to do the work, that submits a responsible bid. And they have, it's not an experience-based thing. In our world, we have to award to the lowest bidder. We don't know.
I was just curious. Are they local? Just curious.
I moved out of the valley.
Okay. Well, that's local, I guess.
Yeah.
They're not from LA or something. Cool. No. Very cool.
We ended up rebidding this, right? Yeah. I mean, this was... Why were the previous bids rejected?
They were way over our budget, and we were using a specification that caused it to be that way. And so we revised the specifications for the material to be used, which fit with the methods of the contractors better. Louis, anything?
Okay, I thought it was something like that. Okay.
Lou, did we add work too? Add additional? I know we added the additive, the bid addition items.
We added the tank two project to it. The operations driveway was already in there, but we pretty much just changed it from a chip seal to a seal coat on the material on that part of it. And that was a big change. So, and that actually made it competitive to. Because most paving companies don't do the chip seal. They actually have to have that subcontracted out to a special company to do that. And so we didn't get a lot of bids because of that reason. So that's why.
Well, you have to know how to do it before you can even put the project on for bid. I mean, that's crazy what you have to know. I guess that's where the engineer comes in, right?
Yep.
Wow. Okay. Well, it all looks good.
Okay. I'll move. And this is something we've been wanting to do for quite a while. So I'll move to, what am I doing? Accepting the low bid from Ragsdale and Son Incorporated for $116,256.93 for, the various projects associated with this, and authorize the general manager to sign the agreement on behalf of the district.
I'll second that.
Can I ask that the maker of the motion and the second agree that the action is the approval of the resolution doing exactly what you had just stated? Unfortunately, the staff submittal that was prepared by the engineer didn't reference the resolution. I know you read the staff recommendation.
Yes. But
there's actually resolution 3-2021 that provides that same language.
Okay. I will revise my motion to move that we adopt resolution. Sorry, let me find myself here. 03-2021, a resolution of the Board of Directors of the Groveland Community Services District awarding a contract with Ragsdale and Sons for the rebid of the Groveland Community Services District paving rehabilitation project, specifically the base bid and added item number one, and authorizing the general manager to award the construction contract.
Beautiful.
I'll second again.
Okay, thank you. Any public comments, Rachel?
No public comment.
Okay, anybody else want to say anything? Nope, okay, let's have a...
Okay, I will now, it was moved by Director Swan, seconded by Director Mora to approve resolution 03-2021, awarding a contract with Ragsdale and Son for the rebid of the Groveland Community Services District Pavement Rehabilitation Project, specifically the base bid and item number one, and authorizing the general manager to award the construction contract. I will now call for the vote. Director Pytkowski?
Yes.
Director Mora?
Yes.
Director Swan?
Yes.
And Director Edwards, as well as Director Armstrong, are absent. And the motion carries with 3 in favor and 2 absent.
I think that was the longest motion in GCSD history.
I did it.
Oh no, I've done much longer ones than that.
Yeah. Some of the bank resolutions were just crazy. The refundings and oh my gosh. Yeah.
You're testing me, Bob.
That was perfect.
I was impressed that you caught the little specifically thing that wasn't part of the actual reading.
Mm-hmm.
Impressive.
Yeah.
He's pretty talented. Mm-hmm.
Learn from the best.
Yes, thanks. Thanks, Rachel. You're doing great.
Yeah.
Have you been practicing?
No. This point, I guess technically for the last year I've been practicing.
Yeah. You've had some on the job training. Okay, so I guess our meeting is done, huh? Oh, Pete.
Hey.
The drop down list for the evaluation, has that changed? Is it going to change? Are we discussing that at the next meeting?
The plan is to, we had decided we were going to put it on the regular meeting agenda.
Yes. Okay. Got it. Okay.
It was, you know, and we've had a conversation about it, but we'll have to throw it out there for the board and get the
approval. Right. Okay. Okay. All right. That's it then. Thanks everybody for attending the meeting. We will now adjourn at 11:50 or 11:48 a.m.
Very careful with